So as we focus here this evening, I do want to use it almost as a response from this morning's message. We talked about a gift this morning, and talked about even just that spirit of giving gifts, and the fact that that the gift we've been giving should be one that we freely and gladly and in a heartfelt manner give to others. Well, if we've been given a gift, or if you have a child that's been given a gift, what is the response that you want them to have in turn? You can what kind of response are you looking for if you give something to your child or they receive a gift? What do you want them to do or say? Yeah, you want thankfulness in return, right? And you don't want it to just be mere lip service, although we're good at that. You know, we're good at saying, thanks, or praying for you. You know, we're good at lip service that's not really matched by life service, in that way. So what I want to do tonight is really talk, somewhat briefly about a proper view of thankfulness. And I think that's fitting as well, because that's that holiday we shouldn't skip until we get to Christmas, right? As we get into this season. And really, November shouldn't be the only month we focus on thankfulness, obviously. It is kind of a natural thing to do. And that's not necessarily why I'm focusing on it tonight, but because talking about after a gift we've been given, the proper, the natural, the appropriate response is to be thankful. I read some time ago that really got me thinking in this way, an article by Al Mohler, and he talked about this concept of thankfulness, and he didn't word it this way, but I would, that thankfulness is theology. We can see a lot of our theology in our thankfulness, because our gratitude, our thankfulness can be a key to understanding what we believe about God, what we believe about ourselves, what we believe about the world around us, because giving thanks is one of the most explicitly theological acts for any human to perform. What do I mean by that? What's it mean? What do I mean when I say it's a theological act? Well, before we get to our text for tonight, let me just point you to, again, something you've heard before. I should have marked this so I could get there quicker. In Romans chapter 1, this is what it says, is in verses 20 to 22. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. So here we have the unregenerate, our natural state, is to not honor him as God, and in doing so, we are not giving thanks to him. Therefore, when we do not recognize him as God, we are not being thankful, we're being ingrates, and that is showing our theology there. So the converse is going to be true as well. That when we do honor him as God, when we do give him his rightful due, then we will naturally be thankful. Those who did not honor him as God did not give thanks to him. Those who honor him as God will give thanks to him. And they will not be the fools that we see in that setting. So the question is, can we truly be thankful if we're not thankful to someone? Can we really be thankful if we're not thankful to someone? If you have a spirit of gratitude, what's the basis for that? If you're grateful for something, you got it from somewhere. And most importantly, from someone. And we know that as God is sovereign, as he is in control of all things, as he is, as we mentioned this morning, a giver of all good gifts, that which we have and we are thankful for has to be directed then to the one who enabled or gave that gift. So I will contend that we cannot be thankful unless we are thankful to someone. Because when we are not thankful, that's showing, as Romans 1 says, the basic nature of sin. Refusing to acknowledge God as the source of all good things. And so therefore, Christian thankfulness requires an active mind and a thankful heart. Yes, we need to be grateful, but there needs to be some intentionality about that. We need to constantly rehearse why we're thankful and to whom we're thankful. We as Christians have a higher level of thankfulness, or at least we should. Because even in that Romans 1 passage, it says that these things are seen from creation. His eternal power, His divine nature, we see those in creation. And so, even in the gift of creation, we ought to be expressing thankfulness and gratitude. All the way then to the gift of Christ, that gift of gospel grace we talked about this morning, being especially thankful for that. Essentially, this is not an issue of being an ingrate versus someone just having a thankful attitude. This is an issue of true worship versus idolatry. This is an issue of belief versus unbelief. Thankfulness, or I should say this, a lack of thankfulness is a mark of the unregenerate man. You see that in Scripture on several occasions. Thankfulness should be the mark of a genuine believer. To honor Him as God, as we equated with thankfulness there in Romans 1, I think verse 21, to honor Him as God is to also honor everything about God. His love, His provision, His care, His gifts. And so when we are thankful, truly thankful, with our heart and our mind, then we're honoring Him as God. Let me read this quote to you then from that article. Here's what he says. We need to think deeply, widely, carefully, and faithfully about the countless reasons for our thankfulness to God. It's humbling to see that Paul, in this Romans 1 passage, it's humbling to see that Paul so explicitly links a lack of thankfulness to sin, foolishness, and idolatry. A lack of proper thankfulness to God is a clear sign of a basic godlessness. Heading into this month, millions of Americans will celebrate Thanksgiving with little consciousness of this truth and far more attention to the menu. Their impulse to express gratitude is a sign of their spiritual need. You get that? Even parents and kids who are not believers want their kids to say thank you. Have you ever thought of that as an expression of their spiritual need? Because to truly be thankful, you have to be thankful to someone, the giver of all good gifts. So their impulse to express gratitude is a sign of their spiritual need, but that is a need that can be met only adequately and fully in Christ. That gift of gospel grace that we talked about this morning. So, in the idea of thankfulness being theology, we could go through, and you can look throughout Scripture, and see the authors of Scripture thanking the Lord for many things about Him and about what He gives. And I just had a real brief list of this. In Psalm 118, that He's my God. Psalm 75 for His works. Psalm 30 for His mercy. Psalm 86 for His love. Psalm 44 for salvation. 2 Corinthians 9 for the gospel, Daniel 2 for wisdom, Romans 6 for obedience, Romans 7 for victory, 1 Corinthians 1 for the work of God in others, Ephesians 5 for everything, Revelations 11 for His eternal power and reign. The list could go on and on and on. But the fact of the matter is this, to fail in thankfulness is to fail to honor God. Period. And this is the biblical description of sinful humanity. Because they did not honor God and did not give Him thanks. And that's all intro. But I promise the message isn't that long. But so let's keep that in mind as we're looking at this, because I want to talk about then the timeless theme of thanksgiving. And we're going to look at an Old Testament passage that really sets a good pattern for us in this. And something that's repeated throughout the Old Testament, and something that that will do us good to rehearse just the way the Israelites did over and over again. Before I do that, let me just tell you the story. And I better pull it out to read it in case I'll butcher the actual story. I think it's in the 17th century in Germany. Germany was in the midst of wars, famine, pestilence. It was during the 30 Years' War at this time that we're talking about. In the city of Eilenburg lived a pastor by the name of Martin Rinkart. And during one especially oppressive period, Rinkart was conducting up to 50 funerals a day. As the plague was sweeping through the town, and as the 30 Years' War was wreaking havoc and terror on the people there, some of which were his own family members that he was burying. Yet during those years of darkness and despair, when death and destruction greeted each new day, Pastor Rinkart wrote 66 songs and hymns. And you know what one of them was? "Now Thank We All Our God." In the midst of that setting, this pastor was able to pen these words: "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things have done, in whom His world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today." That is a testimony of real thankfulness. Because his thankfulness was not based on circumstance. It wasn't based on timing. It wasn't based on materialism. He had a grateful heart and an active mind to know God's done wondrous things. He's blessing us even now. And that kind of attitude of thankfulness is what we should be having as well. Turn to 1 Chronicles 16. There's your typical Thanksgiving passage. 1 Chronicles 16. And we have a song of David. The occasion for this song is when he had prepared a tabernacle for the ark. So setting up the tent for the ark. This song is actually a compilation of several of his psalms. I think there's parts of Psalm 105, parts of Psalm 96, parts of Psalm 106. And so the fact that he would weave these different pieces of others of his thinking and his heart and his writing, I think indicates the special nature of this song. The fact that this was something to be celebrated, that this was a very momentous occasion in his own mind. And it also points to the importance of the theme of this song. And I find the theme in the very last verses of this song. And this is what I want to focus on tonight. Verse 34 of 1 Chronicles 16. We will look at a few of the other verses in there, but let's really look at verse 34 of 1 Chronicles 16, where it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." Does that sound familiar to you? It should. And it certainly sounded familiar to the Israelites. Because we see that phrase repeated over and over and over in Scripture. In fact, in a psalm, it's repeated every verse in that psalm. Is it 136, I think it is? Psalm 136, that basically going in a history of God's goodness to Israel. And there, what was that repeated refrain back? You know, if you were reading it responsively, give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever. It's in Psalm 100. For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, His faithfulness to all generations. It's in Psalm 106, 107, 118, 136. It's repeated over and over. It's also repeated in other parts of Scripture even, not just the Psalms. And so the fact that this, even just this sentence, even this mantra was repeated over and over and over again speaks to the importance of this theme. The importance of thankfulness and the reason behind that thankfulness. But not only is there a pattern in the theme of it, but there's also a pattern in the timing of when some of these were happening. Think about this. Here in 1 Chronicles, David was commemorating this temple, or this tabernacle, I should say. He was commemorating the tabernacle, and he appointed. And if you read earlier in 1 Chronicles 16 and later in 2 Chronicles, the next instance like this, where it refers back to, this is the way David had us set up to give thanksgiving. And then in Ezra, it says, and this is the way David had it set up to give thanksgiving with Asaph and his instruments and all of those people. Here, we have the dedication of the tent, of the tabernacle. In 2 Chronicles 7, Solomon is dedicating the temple now. And he uses the exact same language. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. And in Ezra chapter 3, Zerubbabel and Jeshua, when they were laying the foundation for the rebuilding of the temple, they said, just as David set up to do this, and in the pattern that he gave to give thanksgiving, let's give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His steadfast love endures forever. So we see a pattern emerging in these things. We see a pattern of the fact that, in especially these three cases, for each of their respective places in God's plan, they specially devoted the fact that a rightful place had been prepared for His presence. What's the rightful place of His presence now? He came to dwell amongst men. He gave us the Holy Spirit as a seal to live with us. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so should this attitude of thankfulness not pervade our lives? When they were dedicating places of God's presence, this kept being repeated over and over and over. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. And since we are in God's presence, should we then not continue that pattern in our own hearts and lives and give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever? Let's look at 1 Chronicles 16. Let's look at this song that David penned for this special occasion that we can revisit, that we can look at, a pattern for our own thankfulness. And I'm not going to parse every piece of this song. I just want to give us three basic themes that could be a pattern for our thankfulness as we see themes even within this song that David writes. First of all, I think the first thing we need to do when we're coming to give the Lord thanks is to rejoice in Him. To rejoice in the Lord. Look at those first few verses of the song. Verse 8, I guess is where it would start. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. So the first thing we need to do in order to remind ourselves of that constant state of thankfulness and gratitude and honoring Him as God is to rejoice in Him for who He is. He is the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. He is the Master. He is Yahweh. He is the Almighty God. Call upon His name. So when we rejoice in Him, we are beginning to put the focus back on the object of that gratitude. Remember, we cannot be thankful unless we're thankful to someone. So the first and foremost thing we do is recognize who that someone is. And we rejoice in the Lord. We call upon His name, we sing to Him, we glory in that name, and when we seek Him, we rejoice in that name. So we give thanks as we rejoice in the Lord. Secondly, and I'm going to skip a bunch of verses here, we'll go down to verse 23, because there in the next section, this kind of speaks to this summary statement here. Remember His works. We rejoice in the Lord first and foremost, because we have to have an object of that gratitude. I'm thankful to someone. I'm rejoicing in that someone. But also, we need to be remembering His works, constantly rehearsing in our own minds and hearts what God has done for us. Wasn't Israel charged to do this all the time? That's why there are Psalms, like Psalm 136, that go and basically repeat over and over and over again, God did this for you. Give thanks to the Lord. For He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. And then He did this for you. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. And so you look at all throughout Israel's history in there. And why were they reminded to do that? Why did they have to remember His works? Because they forgot. And how easy it is to forget what God does for us. Because we see it all around us. He's so good that we're so surrounded by His goodness, we take it for granted. I think it was Ralph Waldo Emerson that said this, if the stars would only come out one night a year, everyone would stay up all night to take in their beauty. But they're out every night. And how many times do we just not even look up? And they are a testimony of God's greatness and His majesty. Isaiah 40 even speaks to this, where he challenges those, says, look up on high and see, who created these? When they're talking about the majesty and glory of God, when He's giving hope to the people of Israel, when the first 39 chapters were speaking of destruction and judgment. And now chapter 40 transitions and says, but you know what? You're going to have hope. And here's how you have hope. Behold your God. And he goes through and talks about all these aspects of the glorious God. And in that, I think it's verse 25 or 26. And he says, and just look up. The one who created these, the one who knows them all by name, the one who keeps them all in their place and not one has fallen because of His mighty power, that's your God. That's the message we should receive every night we come out. And we could look up and we could be encouraged in that way again to thankfulness for our God. But we see Him every night. Or actually, we don't see Him every night because we take them for granted that much. And isn't that the way with all the goodness of God? Which is why we need to remember His works for us. Don't be like the Israelites, who when we're given manna, a miraculous provision. Then just said, we're sick of manna now. That's all we ever see. It's up to our eyeballs. It's up to our eyeballs. I'm sick of manna. When they forgot how good God was being to them. And they become ungrateful. Let us constantly remember his works. Verses 23 to 25. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and he is to be held in awe above all gods. When we honor him as God, we are thankful people. When we are not thankful, we're sinful. And we're taking on our old nature, that which Romans 1 says, they didn't honor him, they weren't thankful, they were fools. So, rejoice in the Lord, the object of that gratitude. Remember his works, everything he's done for you. Rehearse his goodness over and over. And then the third and last step would be then to resound his praise over and over. Look at verse 28 as it starts there. Ascribe to the Lord, O clans of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. And here it is again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. All of creation praises the Creator. The trees clap their hands. The mountains speak of his greatness. And we are ingrates. We forget the object of our gratitude. We forget all of the goodness of our God. And as a result, we certainly don't tell everybody else about it. So if we are to have an attitude of gratitude, if we're to be thankful people, now obviously there could be more to it, but here's a simple three-step process. Rejoice in the Lord and who he is. Remember his works, what he's done, and resound his praise for everyone to hear it. He's a good God. He's a great God. So what are the conclusions we can come to based on this idea here, based on what Israel was told to do and what they did over and over and over again, especially when it came to dedicating or commemorating God's presence, which we have continually. So we should continually be having this attitude. Here are a few conclusions that we can have. We should acknowledge and revere his presence. We no longer need to seek his presence in some hallowed place. We don't need to find his mercy through a system of sacrifice. Jesus abolished that practice when he met and exceeded the law's requirement. And so just as grace appeared to man, as we focused on this morning, his presence now dwells in man. So we need to acknowledge and revere that presence and give thanks because he's good and his steadfast love endures forever. Second conclusion, we ought to recognize the priority of thanking God for his goodness and love. This instinct of the Israelites, their command was to praise God even verbatim, even to say these very same things over and over and over again, a liturgy of sorts that they were supposed to repeat. They even set aside trained worshipers for just these occasions, as David set up the pattern for giving thanksgiving. Yet, they were praising in mere anticipation of what was to come. We've seen His goodness. His love and grace has been personified already. So we of all people ought to stand in awe and yet fall on our faces in worship of His glory. We need to recognize a priority of thanking God because He's good and His steadfast love endures forever. And then lastly, we need to follow the precedent that was set and the pattern that was established years ago. For these reasons listed above, as I've stated, let's never fail to ascribe gratefulness to whom it's due, our great God. Not only in the month ahead, not only in Thanksgiving time, as our holiday calendar speaks it, but always, let us always repeat the timeless theme of thanksgiving. We ought to rejoice in the Lord. We ought to remember His works and then resound His praise. We ought to give thanks to God, for He is good and His steadfast love endures forever. Let's pray. Father, what a glorious truth that we could focus on briefly tonight. Your goodness and our responsibility in turn to be thankful. Very simple concept on the surface, but one which we certainly do a disservice to. One which we do not remember as often as we should, but one which we should consistently practice. Lord, help us to rejoice in You, in who You are, to remember You and what You have done, and to resound Your praise to all who can hear because of the great God that we have. Lord, we pray that we would have this attitude of giving thanks to You because You are good and Your steadfast love certainly endures forever. We do thank You, and we do love You for all that You've done for us. And it's in Your most precious holy name that we pray. Amen.